Right, this is our final week this week talking about what does the future hold. So we've done 3 weeks on this topic, and this is the last one. So I'll do a quick recap of what we've done in the previous 3 weeks. So the first week we said every decision we make today affects our tomorrow, and we can change our future by changing today, changing what we're doing in the present. Our present words, actions and attitudes, if we change them, they will affect tomorrow and the next day and the next day. The second week we said we change our future by changing our habits. That was one of my favourite ones. So if you've not listened to that, go on our website and listen to it. We talked about David and how David killed a giant with one stone because it was his usual habit. He only needed a stone to kill a lion or a bear. God had prepared him to kill giants. That was his usual habit. And we said that week that we need to have habits in our lives that will kill our giants. And then last week, we said a lack of expectation will rob us of our future. Elijah expected rain in the middle of a drought. I don't think anyone else was expecting rain, but Elijah was. And guess what? It rained. So expectation is the key to victory. Just as our final week, and I'm saying this week, don't want someone else's future. Just want your own future. Not what God's got for someone else. So James 3 and verse 16 says this: "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion, unrest, and every evil work." So if we're envying someone else's life, we'll miss what God's got for us. If we're so focused on their future, we might miss our own future. Some translations of this scripture, instead of using the word envying, they use the word jealousy. You know, have we ever felt jealous of what someone else has got? That's my first question today. What are we envying and who are we jealous of? Because whoever or whatever it is, it won't do us any good to want what they've got. That won't do us any good. So I want to pray right now that God will give us a revelation of this. Father, I just pray right now that you would show us, every single one in this room, every individual, if there's anything that we are being envious of or anything we're jealous of in any area of our lives. And if that springs to mind right now, that's good. You can repent of it. So, Father, we say sorry right now if we've been envying what someone else has when you've got something amazing to give us. I ask you to forgive us, Lord, and break that off our lives right now in Jesus' name. Just imagine, I just have this picture right now. It's not in my notes, so I just share it. I just saw me just standing here, and God's there, and he's got this amazing gift to give me, and he wants to hand it to me. But I'm busy looking over there at what Neil's got, thinking I want what he's got. And I'm thinking, just... I was in a desperate mood. Just give me what you've got. Give me what you've got. And I'm so busy trying to get what he's got that God can't give me what he wants to give me, because my hands are full of envy and jealousy. My hands are full of wanting someone else's life or gifting or bank balance or job or whatever it is, or family or whatever. And God can't give me what he wants to give me. So we need to focus, keep our eyes on God and what he's got for us. So this verse says envy and jealousy, and that they bring confusion and every evil work. This is a powerful little scripture. They don't just bring a little bit of confusion so that you don't know whether to have tea or coffee that day. They bring enough confusion to open the door wide to every evil work to come into our lives. That's huge. The word confusion in the dictionary, it has a variety of meanings, but some of them are uncertain, undecided, and doubting. And the Amplified describes it as unrest. So we've got confusion in our mind. There's no peace there. There's a lot of unrest, thoughts just going round and round and round in circles. In other words, envying makes us restless and dissatisfied with our own life. If we don't have peace, we're dissatisfied with what we've got. We want more. We want something different. We want a new job, a bigger house, a different spouse. Envy and jealousy distract us from what we've already got, all the good things that are already in our lives. So when did we last thank God for what we've already got? You know, we're all here today because we're all healthy enough to be here today. But we maybe all know someone who's not healthy today, who's lying at home or lying in the hospital bed and can't be in church. So we've all got something to thank God for. Envy will make us doubt the good future that God's already planned for us. We'll doubt that he's got that parcel wrapped with a big red ribbon on it, and we'll want what someone else has got. If we have doubts about our future, we need to sit down and ask ourselves why. And then ask God why. Why have I got doubts about my future and about the fact that you could provide for me? It could be because we're too busy envying someone else's life to enjoy our own. And that might not be the case, but I'm just saying it could be. And I remembered years and years ago, I looked at this other person's life, and being honest with you, I felt jealous because they seemed to have it all. They had the promotion, they had the big house, they had the money in the bank and the fancy cars, and ours were limping along, you know. They seemed to have everything. Then I felt God speak to me, and he showed me this truth. And he said, Sandra, on the surface it looks like they've got everything, but their life is empty. Their life is empty on the inside. So don't judge someone by the size of their house or the size of their car or anything else, because what might be happening behind closed doors might be a totally different story. And God showed me this person had an unquenchable thirst that would never be filled. They wanted the next thing. They always wanted the next thing. You know, the next house and the next car and the next holiday. And God helped me feel completely set free from that with just that one little sentence that their life was empty. They were trying to fill their life with holidays and houses and cars, and they're always out having meals, eating and drinking. And we didn't have the money to do that. And they were always out spending money. But they'll be thirsty again and again. They had this unquenchable thirst. So here's my first revelation today. The world has a thirst that only God can quench. No one else can fill that gap. And the problem is the world doesn't know it. And so they keep looking in all the wrong places. I just want to tell you a little bit of background first before we look at the next scripture about a woman who was looking in all the wrong places. And Jesus met this woman at a well. In fact, he made a deliberate appointment with her, and she didn't even know it. He sent all his disciples into town, and he just stood beside that well, knowing that she was going to turn up. So excited was he to meet this woman who hadn't done everything right. In fact, she'd done everything wrong so far. And the Bible tells me she was a Samaritan, and there was a problem. Well, the first problem was she was a woman, so Jesus, as a male Jew, was not supposed to converse with an unknown woman. And then she was a Samaritan, and Jews didn't talk to Samaritans at all. In fact, they hated them. There was a clash between the Jews and the Samaritans. So he wasn't supposed to talk to her because she was a Samaritan. He wasn't supposed to meet with her alone, especially because she was a woman. And she'd come to the well to collect water. She'd come because she was thirsty. You know, we come to God sometimes and we are thirsty. We are so thirsty for the answers to the problems that we're facing. But then Jesus, just for this one woman and for all of us as well, he breaks all the rules for her and he asks her for a drink. And we'll pick the story up in John chapter 4 and verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "where can you get this living water?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty again." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband." So she'd been a wee bit of a gal, hadn't she? She'd been around the block a few times, this woman. So this woman had an unquenchable thirst. What was she searching for? She was just searching for love. She was searching to know that someone loved her. She was no different to us. She just wanted to know that she'd have a good future. Was it going to be a happy one? Was someone going to love me in the future? And she'd gone through five marriages in her search. And none of it met her needs. None of it quenched her thirst. She was still thirsty after all of that. And on to man number six. So here's my revelation from this. The world can never quench our thirst or meet our needs. Only God can. What the next door neighbor has can never quench our thirst. What that person at work is boasting about can never quench our thirst. It won't quench their thirst either, but it won't quench our thirst. Only God can. Never envy the world and what it has. Never envy someone famous and think, oh, I wish I was famous. Don't want to be famous. You can't walk down the street and go shopping in Primark or, Poundstretcher or something. They'll just criticise you for everything. Never envy the world. It has nothing to offer in comparison to God. Absolutely nothing. Only God gives love and joy and peace and forgiveness and eternal life. And it's free for the asking. The world puts a price on everything. Nothing's free in the world. It's all free in God's kingdom. Everything that we need. We could all probably, if we went round the room, everyone of a different era could come up with some movie star or rock star or musician or someone that's ended their lives in tragedy. We can all think of someone who has deliberately ended their life in tragedy. And you think, they've got millions in the bank. Millions. And they're still thirsty. They've got thousands of adoring fans. And they still go home lonely. I remember hearing, most people remember Lenny Henry, the comedian. I remember hearing an interview with Lenny Henry years ago on the TV, and he talked about a comedy show that he'd just done with maybe a good few thousand people there. And he said, when you get in the taxi at the end of the night and you go home, it's very lonely. You've had all that attention, and it's just lonely. And he said his wife waited up for him because it was just lonely. They've got thousands of adoring fans, and they go home lonely, empty on the inside, because none of it satisfies the thirst that God the Father satisfies in our lives. They still have needs, and they are never met. Why is that? Why are their needs never met? Because they've never met Jesus. They've never stood at the well with the life-giving water that he can offer. They've never met the one who died to save them. They've never met the lover of their soul. They've never met him. They've never met Jehovah Jireh, their provider. They've never met Jehovah Shalom, their peace. They've never met Jehovah Rapha, their healer. They've never met Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. Because they don't know God's there. They don't know he's waiting at the well for him with life-giving, eternal life-giving water that will quench their every thirst. They live there constantly thirsty and never satisfied. I want you to know that I'm describing the unsaved here, not the saved. We shouldn't be thirsty. We shouldn't have an unquenchable thirst. We shouldn't be unsatisfied or dissatisfied. And when I was preparing this, God gave me a vision of someone standing beside that well, and they're standing right beside it, and all the life-giving water's in that well. What if that woman had just stood there beside the well and went, oh, that's great, that's lovely that you can give me water, and I'll never thirst again. But what if she'd never held her bucket out and said, fill me with this life-giving water. So the picture I had was someone standing beside the well, and they had their bucket, but God was saying, you need to put it down. You need to put it deep into the well. You need to put it in, and you need to pull out that water and fill yourself up. Stand in his presence. Meet him at the well. Be there on a daily basis and just say, Father God, what have you got for me today? Because I just want to tell you that I love you. I just go for a walk around the block. Go for a walk down a couple of streets where you live and just tell God that you love him. Or sit on your couch with a wee cuppa if it's good Scottish rainy weather outside. But just tell him that you love him. That's putting your bucket down deep into that well and filling us up with life-giving water. So if we are Christians and we're going about constantly thirsty and dissatisfied, something is wrong, because God's able to quench any thirst that we have and fill us to overflowing, fill any void in our lives to overflowing. He's with us in the present, and he'll be with us in the future too. But we need to fill up our cup or our bucket, and we need to drink. You know, when it's years and years and years and years and decades ago in Sunday school, we used to sing a little song, "My cup's full and running over." Running over, running over, my cup's full and running over. We did the actions to it. Our cup as Christians should be full and running over. Yeah, you were in that Sunday school, weren't you? Yeah, Helen at the back there. We were in there doing that with Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Running over. My cup's full and running over. If you get up in the morning and it's empty, take a drink from the well of life-giving water, because our future and our present is meant to be full and running over. Running over. Inside every person is a dry well that only God can fill. And I know I'm speaking to the converted because you're in church. But some mornings we do get up feeling dry. You know, have you ever seen one of these dry riverbeds or a field that's just so dry, it's all cracks, the soil is permanently cracked. It doesn't happen often in Scotland, but it does happen. I've stood in a field in Scotland where the soil was completely cracked and nothing grows there, everything dies. And that's what we're like on the inside without God. We're dry and dead. That's what people are like on the inside if they don't have the water that only God can offer us. People are dying without life-giving water. And do you know what? God's given it away for free. All we need to do is spend 5 minutes with him and you're topped up. He's giving it away for free. Verse 14 back there in John 4 said this, that his water will become in them a spring welling up to eternal life. Christians have a spring of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. And it fills up with living water and with life and overflows. But sometimes we're the ones that have got to stand by the well and just take that 5 minutes to make sure our bucket's full. No one needs to go home empty today. Rivers of living water are available to us in this room right now. So I'm going to pray again today. So let's just close your eyes and just say this prayer in your head. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I thank you that the life-giving flow of your Holy Spirit is free. I thank you, Father, that if we've asked Jesus into our lives, then the Holy Spirit is already in there. And so right now, Holy Spirit, I ask you to just well up and fill up the well and fill up the well and overflow right now. Rivers of living water flowing out of us. Just fill us afresh, Holy Spirit. There are people in this room today that are tired and weary because it's been a busy week. It's been a busy year. And for some people, it's been a busy decade. And so, Father, fill us afresh with your life-giving power of your Holy Spirit, your love, your joy, your peace, your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, and if anyone wants baptism in the Holy Spirit because you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then speak to Neil or myself later and we can pray for you for that as well. But the Holy Spirit is real and he's on the inside of us and it's up to us to stir up the water. Stir it up, stir it up, stir it up, and it will rise up and it will overflow. I want to finish today by looking at a story about David. And David, King David, and he was in one of the dry times of his life, and we can all go through dry seasons. And this story is in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 1. Just going to read the first few verses. In the springtime, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. But David remained in Jerusalem. And one evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful. And David sent someone to find out about her. And the man said, "She is Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him and he slept with her. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I am pregnant." Three little words. Sometimes you want to hear them, sometimes you don't. This is one of those cases where David did not want to hear those three little words. Okay, look at verse 1. It says, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war. David was a king. So where should he have been? He should have been off to war, fighting beside his men, but David wasn't where he should have been. He was idle, he was unoccupied and dissatisfied with what he had. Dissatisfied. Now, I did a little bit of research, and the research, I found out that David had about 8 wives. He probably had a few concubines as well, but he had about 8 wives in the end. And he was dissatisfied. He wanted what another man had. He had so much, and he wanted what one small man had. He had envy and jealousy, and it let in the enemy and every evil work. The enemy comes in when we're idle and unoccupied, and we need to be on our guard. We need to guard our minds. We need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our loved ones. We need to be on our guard. We need to make sure that we are where we ought to be. Where are we ought to be? Where should we be? We should be in the Word. We should be in praise. We should be in prayer. We should be speaking in tongues. We should be fighting the good fight, and we should be in church. Again, preaching to the converted today. You're all here, okay? We should be in all of these things. That's where we should be. Or the enemy, if he catches us idle and where we shouldn't be, then just maybe we'll let in that envy, and maybe we'll let in that jealousy. We need to be where we're meant to be. David was looking where he shouldn't have been, at Bathsheba. Today, we look at things that we shouldn't be looking at. We look at social media, and we look at the pictures of someone else's life, and we want their dinner, their holiday, their life, and their future. You know, I'm looking at someone else's amazing dinner, and I'm thinking, where was my invite? You know, I'm here scratching in the fridge, and it's like, it's not so much the cooking it, it's what do I cook? What am I going to cook tonight? It's making that decision. My favourite is a pot of soup, because all the leftovers just go in. We're having a pot of soup there. There's 6 leftovers in the fridge. What kind of soup? I don't know, because there's 6 leftovers. We'll see how it turns out and what it tastes like, okay? So social media will make us dissatisfied. We shouldn't be looking. Now, I'm going to say a statement, and I believe it with all my heart. I believe social media has a spirit of dissatisfaction behind it. Dissatisfaction, because you're always dissatisfied with your life when you look at someone else's. I think I've shared this story before. I'm just in the kitchen, peeling the potatoes, chopping up the carrots, and there on Facebook is a couple that I know drinking champagne at the top of the Eiffel Tower. You know, I've got to do the dishes yet, the homework, get the washing out of the machine, hang it on the radiators before the heating goes off. I've got to do all of that, and they're drinking champagne. I was so happy for them. Lord bless them. Please help me sort out the mess that's around me. There's a spirit of dissatisfaction with social media. Limit your time or stop it altogether. David was looking at another man's wife and at another man's life. He wanted someone else's future. He wasn't content with his own, and he had so much. He had many wives, and yet he wanted the one thing that he couldn't get, and he felt unhappy about his life. Are we so very different? We've got so much, and yet we still want more. We still want more than we've got. And to cover his sin, David had Bathsheba's husband Uriah sent to the front line in the battle. And the man was killed. So basically, he sent him to his death because he knew that's what would happen. He was killed in battle, so that freed Bathsheba up for David to marry her. And that's a different story, really. David had an unquenchable thirst, and he didn't take it to God. He didn't dig down and put his bucket into that well and draw out a bucket load of life-giving water and drink it and just start praising God for what he had and where he was at. And God could have filled them with living water, the kind that never runs dry. And that whole scenario would never have happened. Let's look at John chapter 7 and verse 38. It's my last scripture. This is what it says in the King James Version. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Amplified says, he who believes in me, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. Not just a little trickle there. We're talking a flood. We're talking a gush of living water. God promises that life will flow out of us like rivers. It's plural. It's not just singular. It's plural. There's more than one river. So I'm picturing a whole deluge of water, a whole deluge. May the Lord just absolutely cover you today with his living water. Flood into your heart today. Flood into your life with the power of his Holy Spirit. It's a promise in the scripture to saturate us with life if we believe in him. Not just on a Sunday, not just when we feel, well, I've been good enough this week because I've had three quiet times and a shiver before God, you know, so I must be good enough. Not just on those times, but in the times when we feel rubbish and we feel useless and we feel weak and we feel of no worth and value, come to the well. Come to the well and fill your bucket. Come to the well and put it down deep and bring it up and pour it over your head. Do one of these bucket challenges. I challenge you to do a Holy Spirit bucket challenge. Fill it up and just saturate yourself in the presence of God, and your life will never be the same again. It's a continuous spring of water flowing every day in our present and in our future and in every season that we're walking through. If we believe in Jesus as Lord, we will have rivers of life in our future. That's what God's got for us. That is a future worth having. So don't you think it's time we stop wanting someone else's future and started to trust God for the amazing future that he has planned for us? Every single one in this room. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and I'm going to open up the front if anyone wants prayer today.